Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, Eurotailers, and welcome back to the number one European football show in the land. Today we welcome to the show a little return, a bit of deja vu. It's French football guru Robert Barna, a true expert of French football with over 20 years of experience covering Ligue 1. We're going to talk about a team that maybe hasn't received enough recognition for their impressive season thus far, Lille, and their impressive manager, Paulo Fonseca. We're going to preview their clash with Aston Villa. Lille are also currently in the race for a Champions League qualification. And of course, meet Aston Villa this Thursday in a quarterfinal clash for the UEFA Conference League. So the big question is, can Lille follow in the footsteps of PSG last night and finally break the curse of French clubs in Europe? We're going to hear what Robin has to say. He gives an in-depth little look at the background of Lille, a bit about the club, the players that Aston Villa need to be wary of, and Fonseca's performance so far this season. In truth, Fonseca has done a stellar job in steadying the Lille ship. He took on a tough job at the club, and despite some challenges in his previous managerial roles, when he took that Lille job after the Galtier and Campos era, Manny wouldn't have gone near the place. They had stunk the place out in the year after they won the League One title, finishing mid-table. They lost a raft of players. They were in financial trouble after splurges. But maybe Fonseca isn't getting enough of the credit he deserves, mainly thanks to Eric Roy's performance at Brest. He's getting a lot of attention. Maybe he's overshadowing Fonseca's magic a bit. Moving on to players, we'll highlight some of the shining lights in the Lille team, Jonathan David and Angel Gomez, who have been crucial to Lille's success this season. We'll also mention the little Kosovan maverick, Edrin Zhikrova, but there is an injury cloud hanging over him going into the Aston Villa game. If he doesn't make it, you would presume Algerian Unas will take up the baton. Villa, though, after defeating Arsenal at the weekend, despite Lille had a rest, Ligue 1 clubs were given the weekend off, Villa will come into this game in bold spirits. And a little disclaimer, I am a lifelong Aston Villa fan, but I don't mention that in the interview. And I've tried to keep my foot in both camps, being an avid lover of French football too. So, enjoy. Robin, welcome back to Eurotales. The burning question is, can Lille help break the French club's curse in Europe? We're approaching the business end of the season, Robin, and suddenly Paulo Fonseca's Lille are pushing on to exciting battlefronts. They're firmly in the race for Champions League qualification, and welcome Aston Villa off the back of their surprise victory at the Emirates against Arsenal. Lille welcomed them to their formidable home fortress for this week's eagerly anticipated Conference League clash. How impressed are you by Lille and Fonseca this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not be impressed by them, I suppose, because they have done so well. They're a very flexible team. They've got lots of different dimensions to their game. They can play in different ways, which makes them a dangerous team, as Aston Villa found out in the first leg. And they've got a lot of good players in there. It's certainly going to be a major test for Aston Villa, I think, on Thursday night. Perhaps, well, they're obviously coming off the back of that win at the Emirates when they played so well. So they're going to be full of confidence too. But this Lille side is rested. They didn't play at all at the weekend. So that's going to be a benefit for them. And as you mentioned, they've got a very, very good home record, and that certainly gives them a good chance of progression.
I think that, as you alluded to, that performance by Lille surprised a lot of people in the UK that don't watch much French football. Fonseca, when he went there, Robin, he took on a tough job. They were a team suffering a bit of a hangover from the Galtier and Campos era. Then they sort of underperformed. An era that Galtier and Campos brought that surprise League One title against all odds. But Fonseca came in there when many people would have avoided that job. How did he steady the ship?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, what happened at Lille before under Campos and Galtier left him in a, although they won the league, it left him in a bit of a hole because they hadn't been particularly well financially managed. And it meant that they were perhaps not quite working on a shoestring budget compared to other teams in Ligue 1. But certainly they were working on a smaller budget than they might have been used to and the fans might have been used to. So this was a club with relatively high demands in terms of what the supporters expected, but perhaps not the means to accomplish those demands. But Fonseca's managed to, I suppose, buck that trend. They've made a few big sales in there too, which has certainly helped them financially and has allowed them to get into a good, a better sort of playing, a better footing, I suppose. And from there, Fonseca's recruitment or the recruitment of the team has been very good. They've built a very solid team. And as I mentioned, it's a very flexible team. And Fonseca is a very flexible manager, which has, I guess, been one of the real sort of tenets of their success or relative success over the last couple of years under him.
He's a very interesting character when you look at his career. He bit off more than he could chew at times. Took on the Porto role when he was extremely young and departed after just 10 months. He landed that Porto job just 2 years after he got his first professional managerial gig. He took on Roma, who were in dire straits at the time, after Mochy went there, got it wrong a few times in the transfer market. But his two-year tenure there wasn't much to write home about. But all of this, now he's at 51, it seems to have moulded him. Would you say him and Lille are the perfect match?
They certainly seem to be at the moment. I mean, as you say, he's taken a few risky jobs in the past and he's been burned by that. And Lille was another risky job, as I mentioned earlier, because of the financial constraints that they were under. But he has done, I guess, a perfect job there in terms of what is possible and what he's accomplished. And I think if you look at the history of him at Lille over the last 18 months, you have to say it's been a very good appointment both for Lille and for Fonseca himself, because he's now again being linked with some pretty big jobs. And if Lille go on and turn this Aston Villa tie around, which they, as I said, they've got a possibility of doing, he's only going to get mentioned for more of these jobs. And it's a very exciting time for him in particular, I suppose, as well as for Lille.
It'll be a big audition for himself, maybe Jonathan David, Angel Gomez, with all the English eyes with the mega books, the Premier League watching. Do you feel to a degree, Robin, with the performance of Eric Roy at Brest, has it overshadowed Fonseca a bit with regard to the amount of fandom he's getting with his performance in Ligue 1 this season?
To an extent, I guess, because Brest have obviously completely overperformed. I mean, they were a team that was expected to battle relegation, and obviously it looks like they're going to finish in the Champions League spots, which will be one of the stories of European football. And certainly, I don't think anybody expected this sort of level from Eric Roy's team. And I guess domestically it has overshadowed Lille, but equally Brest are a very small club. They're not very big in terms of a media presence. So even compared to a club like Lille, who have got a much, much bigger fan base. So Fonseca does get his love, but perhaps not quite as much as he would have done had Brest not enjoyed this, you know, really historic season.
We might have some Aston Villa fans listen to us, Robin. Hopefully, anyway. Which of the Lille players have impressed you the most this season and the ones they should be worried about?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're looking right throughout the team, there's players who have been impressive. So Chevalier in goal is, you know, probably one of the best young keepers in the world. And I think his performances have probably been overshadowed by other players in the team. Lenny Yoro, of course, in defence is very much hyped. And, you know, that hype's been deserved so far. He's played very well, although he did struggle in the first leg to an extent. So it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back. But, of course, he's a player who needs to be watched. In the midfield, you mentioned Angel Gomez, who's been very strong, being touted for England recognition again by, you know, several major pundits, which is great to see him getting the right recognition of what he's achieved in France, because he has been playing very well. Ian Wright's been among the people who have bigged up his cause, and deservedly so, because he's been playing very well as a number eight. Edin Zagrova's arguably been their most improved player this season in terms of his consistency. He's always been a very dangerous winger, but his consistency has improved significantly. And of course, Jonathan David at the forefront of their attack is the man who gets a lot of the goals. And after a really, you know, disappointing start to the season from him, he's bounced back and coming really strong in the second half of the season. So he's certainly one to watch too.
It sort of made some of the headlines recently. There were stories that Aston Villa brought this example of French clubs getting the weekend off to give them the best chance to the Premier League, asking why the same wasn't done for them. Maybe they, in hindsight, they're glad it wasn't with defeating Arsenal. But is the reason Liga 1 decided to give Lille and others this break with regards to the poor performance of French clubs in recent years in Europe?
Well, I mean, to an extent, that's certainly the case. But I think what you have to remember is European football is much more important to a Ligue 1 team than it is to a Premier League team in terms of their finances, because, you know, Villa are bringing in so much more money in terms of television revenue, particularly than a Lille, for example. And that's giving them a huge advantage, competitive advantage, in terms of being able to sign players and pay players massive wages. So, I mean, it swings and roundabouts to some extent. I mean, the Premier League isn't in a position where it can afford to buckle and move a match like Aston Villa against Arsenal. I mean, imagine what the critics would have said about the title race if that match had been moved. So, I mean, undoubtedly, Ligue 1 has moved these matches to help the teams and to help them prepare for the games, which has been because of the relatively disappointing performances in Europe. I mean, there was a bit of doubt earlier this season about whether Ligue 1 would even hold on to its position as a top five league in Europe. It looks like they're going to do that now without too much bother. But it's very important for Ligue 1 to maintain that status. Whereas if you compare it to the Premier League, the Premier League's got no worries in that regard, and their finances are very much secured. But that's not the case in France at the moment. So that's really why it's been done.
It's refreshing to see the French clubs going well. How confident will Lille be, Robin, going into this quarterfinal clash, given their fantastic home form, with the tie evenly poised at 2-1 when they grabbed that late away goal? Just why is Lille's home form so formidable?
Well, I think to answer the first part of your question, Lille will be, you know, really confident, or at least warmly confident, that they're going to be able to turn this tie around. I mean, you mentioned earlier that a lot of English fans might not have expected them to be so strong. I mean, Lille didn't go to Aston Villa by any means with a defeatist attitude. And I think if you look at the other teams in the draw for the Conference League, you would have to say that whoever wins this tie, I would say, would become favourite to win the whole competition. So, I mean, this is almost a final to some extent for Lille. So this is a big match, and, you know, there's no doubt that they're confident that they can turn it around. And as to why their home form is so strong, I mean, they're just a really solid team who I mentioned can play in lots of different ways, have numerous dangerous players who can pick a defence apart and in different ways. So there's a whole variety of factors there as to why they've been doing so well.
Is it a boisterous home crowd there at Lille? Is it like Lens with a really passionate home fan base?
I mean, Lens are something else, I think. I think Lens are an exceptional in just about any context. And Lille is a very passionate football club as well. They're obviously from the same sort of region in France as Lens. And there is that passion there, but the ground isn't as compact. It's not quite as intimidating. The fans aren't quite as on top of the players. It's not quite as noisy and loud, but, you know, there's certainly, particularly when the roof is closed, there's a good atmosphere there. It is not a quiet ground by any means, but it's perhaps not quite as intimidating and fiery as Lens.
That minor blood, it gives some good vocal cords up there in Lens, Robert. And finally, my friend, where do you think the game will be decided? Who do Lille need to show up?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of doubt about the fitness of Edinson Grover. I've not seen the latest update, but there's a serious doubt over him. And if he misses out, that's going to be a big blow to Leo, because he offers so much creativity. He's the sort of player who could win them the game out of nothing. So for Leo, from a Leo perspective, when they're facing a team like Aston Villa, they need everybody to turn up and to play well. I think in particular, they've got to be looking at Jonathan David to take his chances. He was a little bit disappointing in Birmingham last week. They need him to come in and you know, anytime he gets a sniff of goal, he has to score. Also, Angel Gomez in midfield, they'll be looking for him to run the show. There's been a bit of doubt about his physicality and ability to compete on a sort of European scene, compete physically with English teams. And this is a great chance for him to prove those critics wrong. So, I mean, I think from a Leo perspective, you're really looking at those two. Lenny Yoro will want to be having a big game, and also Chevalier in goal needs to have a big game too, you would imagine, because Villa are going to be confident, they're going to be intense, and it's going to be a really tough game for Leo.
Thanks so much, my friend. Enjoy the game, and hopefully we'll catch you again before the end of the League One season.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for having me.
You're listening to Eurotales, where European football stories are explored one at a time. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode.
A wealth of knowledge there from Robin. So you get a little background on Lille, Fonseca, some of the pillars and linchpins of their impressive playing performance on the pitch this season. Robin is a regular feature on Eurotales, so if you're just listening for this episode, we have a catalogue of experts all around the Euroleagues, and we cover clubs one at a time. Stories each week, quite unique in English, some of the storylines that you won't get in the mainstream media, so give us a follow and give us a chance. There's a massive backlog there for you. We'll close with some stats, just a precursor for the game that's to come. Lille have conceded the least amount of shots in Ligue 1 this season. They concede a miserly 7.98 shots per game. To put that in perspective, PSG concede 10.25. But there is some good news for Aston Villa fans on a defensive front. The fact Lille have pulled in the second lowest number of crosses into the box in Ligue 1 this season. Villa have been susceptible at times this season to the simple art of a ball coming in from the wing into the box. So maybe Fonseca might change it up a bit. Who knows? It should be a thriller. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your time. Enjoy all the action in Europe midweek and this weekend that's to come. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Don't miss us between episodes. Simply follow our socials, links in the show notes, or simply search at EuroTalesPod on Twitter.
Podcast Network.